Today on Real Radio.
The second thing we need to remember is that faith is what invites him in. We mentioned that a moment ago. But it's the faith in Jesus Christ that causes us to have a day-by-day relationship with him. If you're saying you have faith in God, but you have no daily relationship with Christ, your faith is vain. Your faith is it's a dream. It's not real. And if you have faith in Christ, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have joys. You're going to have defeats. You're going to have victories. It's a dynamic. It's alive.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been exploring chapter 3, and in verses 14 through 17, we read quite the Trinitarian passage, which also lists benefits for the believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called A Prayer for Power.
Lord, whatever the Bible says concerning your glory, make it reality in my life. That's kind of a fun thing to pray. And then let's kind of see what happens. Can't hurt, right? What about Romans 11:33? Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and on the knowledge of God. The riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Do you need wisdom and knowledge to govern your life? Now look, many of us right now are just feeling right now, oh, I'm pretty powerless about decision making. You want to know why we are? We're not asking him to give us his wisdom and his knowledge for our decision making processes. Listen, James says you don't have wisdom because you're not asking for it. What should I do about this job? What should I do about this venture? What should we do about this ministry? What should we do about our house? What should we do about... God's got the answer. We need to pray, enjoy the power that comes through his glory, that comes through his knowledge, that comes through his wisdom. We need to pray before we do. We need to pray before we step. What other kind of riches? Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Man, that sounds good. I love what Timothy Meany said Sunday night. He said, you know, Jesus Christ comes to your life and he says, I'll forgive you of your sins, give you a brand new life, and fill you with joy every day. You wake up with joy, you have joy every day. And Timothy Meany just goes, you know, why wouldn't anybody want that? And it's just so simple. Well, you know, why wouldn't anybody want that? Can you imagine? Excuse me, sir. Yes. I'd like to offer you free joy, peace, everlasting life, contentment, great gain. I have all the joy that I possibly could want. I'm totally content. And I don't need any more peace. Can you imagine? Why would anybody want this? Well, we can have forgiveness, and then listen, how is it done? According to Ephesians 1:7, to the riches of his grace. I like that one. Grace. Grace means you're in such big trouble and you're not going to get in trouble. I like that. And not only are you not going to get in trouble, but God says, I'm going to give you like an ice cream cone. That's a grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Man, I'm not worthy. I know. God would never do this for me. Yeah, you're not worthy, and God shouldn't do it for you. But he probably will. Really? Why? Because he's gracious. It's amazing. Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what it is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Whatever Jesus inherited upon the cross and the resurrection for all eternity is ours. And have we ever stopped to pray, Lord, I'm going to pray Ephesians 1:18, and I'm going to ask you, God, to cause this truth that I say is your Bible, and it is your word I say, that the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints might be reality in my life. Now, that's a prayer request all of us should do right now. Are you having any kind of are you breathing at all? Is there anything going on in your life? Or is it just too cool? I don't know what's going on, but every one of us, no matter what your attitude, your struggle is, your thoughts are right at this moment, what keeps us from taking Ephesians 1:18 and making it a prayer of our lives? God, I need to know the riches of your glory concerning this inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. We're either going to do it or we're not going to do it. We're going to do the thing that we so often do, which is doing nothing. We read it. And I'm talking from experience today. I just going through my devotion. I just got so convicted. I read my thing. Okay, I'm supposed to do this chapter, and that one. And then I read a chapter in this epistle, and I'll be done. That's a horrible thing. It's like punch in, punch out. I mean, that's kind of like, okay, God, you got, let me see, you got about 8.5 minutes to talk to me. Here we go. Come on, you're big. You can talk. Say it. God won't say a thing. He's not like that. He doesn't have a switch on his back. And then turn him off. No, he's got to be cuddled up to. He's real. He's not a machine. And going through my devotion this morning, the thought entered my mind, I should take the time to pray this chapter into my heart. Whatever the psalmist or whatever the author of the epistle is saying, I should pray the theme of that chapter and ask God to make it real in my life. And I even said to myself, that's a good idea. But I got to go. I know none of you would ever do that. But I did that today. And it's not good. You know, God's not up there going, oh, man, I can't believe you did that. No, I'm the one all day that's been going, I can't believe I just blew that. Day's falling apart. Gee whiz. He's just saying, I told you. Listen, he says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We saw it last week about dwelling. It's a moving in thing. It's made up of two words in the Greek. It means that he's coming down and living in. He's come down to be home. Coming down and making a home. Coming into your heart and being at home. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's how he gets in. He gets in through faith. It's faith that lets him in. Here it is. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Man, that sounds good. What does it mean? Great stuff here. The words rooted and grounded. The words rooted. First of all, it's in the past tense. It means it's already happened. That ought to cause us some thought. I looked it up in the Greek New Testament today. It's happened. You've been rooted. You ever been up Central California where they plant the rice? Did you know? I thought rice came from Japan or China. California is like a rice field. And they're out there planting those little shoots by the zillions. That little thing's planted and it begins to grow. Listen, rooted. It has the picture of being set in place, like a farmer planting something. Rooted, to become stable or secured in, sure-footed. The word means to no longer wobble. And in my extreme intellect, I thought of Weebles. Remember the song, Weebles Wobble, but they don't fall down. I'll be teaching next week at the Montessori school, and they'll move, but they don't fall down. But what this word says, be rooted, anchored. You weren't anchored before, but now you are anchored. And because you, by faith, have let Jesus Christ in, the word is past tense, you have been rooted. It's a work of God. You don't have to run around saying, oh, I got to get rooted and grounded. It's a prayer throughout the New Testament that you might be rooted and grounded. It's not that, oh, no. Gosh, I hope that church at Chino Hills gets rooted and grounded. No, the prayer means, Paul is praying throughout the New Testament, I hope you realize that you're rooted and grounded. So you can be rooted and grounded. You can act like it. It's like what John Corson taught us at the marriage retreats. Be ye perfect, just as your Father in heaven's perfect. And everybody goes, who can be perfect? And John goes, that's not what it's saying. It doesn't mean you be perfect because your Father in heaven's perfect. So be perfect. It's not what it means. It means be ye perfect because your Father in heaven's perfect. You can be perfect. The word means complete. You can be complete because your Father in heaven's complete. You're offspring of the Most High God. You can be complete now. I like that. That's liberating, isn't it? We are rooted. We become sure-footed, stable. It's essential, and it has to happen. The next word, grounded. The word grounded means to lay as a form or a pattern, like before a contractor pours the slab. It's to lay out the forms for the cement to flow. To be set into a foundation before erecting a building, to be founded prior to construction. And again, this word is in the past tense as well. It's a done deal. Having been rooted and grounded. And understand this, it means first to get stable in the Lord. When a person comes to Jesus Christ, makes the commitment, there's a supernatural event, and he finds out that he is born again. He's been given a new life. He's brand new in Christ. It's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, if you drink of the water I have to give you, you'll never thirst again. If you eat of the bread I give, you'll never hunger again. Stable. Stability. Rooted. Understand that. But how do we become rooted and grounded? How do I understand the fact that I am rooted and grounded? How does this happen? First of all, realize this. It said earlier that Christ is to dwell in our hearts. That is the reality of who we are. Jesus now is on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit. To dwell. We saw last time together that it means to take up a permanent dwelling, to take up residence. The second thing we need to remember is that faith is what invites him in. We mentioned that a moment ago. But it's the faith in Jesus Christ that causes us to have a day-by-day relationship with him. If you're saying you have faith in God, but you have no daily relationship with Christ, your faith is vain. Your faith is it's a dream. It's not real. And if you have faith in Christ, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have joys. You're going to have defeats. You're going to have victories. It's a dynamic. It's alive. It's not... Now, I'm sure people do this here, although we are blessed in Southern California. Every time, you know, you go back east, people say, why are all the churches in Southern California so big? Well, I mean, this is Babylon here, for one thing. There's a lot of sin here. Besides, there's something that works on our minds, drive-by shootings. You're thinking, you know, I could die any minute, so I'm going to go to church. You never know. It's a crazy place. You know, people are saying in L.A., well, you know, I heard a disc jockey a while back. He said, well, it looks like it's going to be a great day in L.A. There's no earthquakes, riots, or fires. Hills are mudslides. Looks like it's going to be a good day. Well, there's one thing. This place has got its problems. But the Holy Spirit really, I don't know what it is. I'm glad. But he really likes to hang out in Southern California. The churches are, the word's being taught. Things are going on everywhere. God's moving. You should go back east. And you know what people love to do? Have you ever been back east? You ever been back east on a Sunday? Everybody goes to church.
And they're yawning on their way in. And they're yawning in the service.
And they're looking at, and they go to church and 59 minutes from parking lot in, parking lot out. And they take their Bible, never open the thing. Take their Bible, get back in the car, put it in the trunk, and they drive off, and they don't pull God out again until next Sunday. It's the weirdest thing. Everybody's religious. It's a weird thing. That's not God, and that is not a personal relationship with Him. That's dead. That is truly religion. Is He with you? Are you with Him daily? Is He an active part of your life daily? I'm not asking how you're doing, but have things sidetracked your attention on God? What are you thinking about more than anything in the day? Whatever is your main thought, is it your job? Now, I understand through our occupations, we can get pulled away for hours on our project. That's okay. But what is your passion? Is it a house? Is it a car? Is it achievement? That's your God. Read the definition of God in the Webster's Dictionary. That's your God. And sometimes, even in the life of a Christian, God gets knocked off the throne and this thing gets put in place. We have to be careful, because that's not good investing. And we're the ones that will suffer when the harvest comes. But it's that real relationship. Why is being rooted and grounded important to us? Well, first of all, a couple of things. It's contrary to all that the world is in its very being. Have you noticed that? The world, being rooted and grounded, is absolutely contrary to what the world can show us. Have you noticed that? The world is, if you want to get the pulse of the world, go ahead and look at the Madison Avenue hype scene. I guess it's this time of the year. I'm seeing it in all kinds of programs where the fashions are coming out. Is this the thing? Fashion season, the European things, and these people walking down the runway with these clothes I wouldn't be caught dead in. This is the hottest thing from Benetton, or this is Calvin Klein, and it's like, I mean, come on! Give me a break! Who's the guy that thinks of this stuff? I think they're in the back room somewhere in Paris, and they're like totally drinking. And they're saying, you know what? Let's like pull one leg up and like, you know, do our hair out this way, and then we'll just kind of, you know, you're Calvin Klein and you're Pierre Cardin and you're over here, whoever you are, and let's just, you know, think of something really stupid and make a bunch of money. They'll swallow it, they'll do it. And the world goes from trend to trend to trend, and what you invest your life in this year is going to be gone next year. Gone. You go down the mall, my daughter, I like those pants. Look, they're so cool. Well, those are bell bottoms. You know what they are? And if you notice now these collars, in a Santa Ana wind, you could take off. Have you noticed them? They're huge. And when? Don't you remember? And then they show a clip on the news. You know, the teens are thinking, we've invented this stuff. Lime green pants, orange shirt, black beads, purple fingernails. I mean, it's our thing. Ratted up hair. And then they show a snapshot of Saturday Night Fever. Or whatever, is that the, yeah, with John Travolta. And it breaks their whole thing. They thought you guys already did this. And they're crushed. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Listen, we need to be rooted and grounded. We're not subject to that kind of junk. It's in our hearts, man. It's stable. I could wear bell bottoms like that. My heart's stable. I don't need them. If I wear them, and I look like a freak, but I almost said something else. California, the land of fruit and nuts. But also, it's contrary to what the world has to offer us. And all of these funny little things that they try to give us to take in, they're the only ones that have their pockets lined. It doesn't give you any satisfaction. That's all that they have to offer, is a trend, is a fashion moment, and it's gone. But what it does happen concerning being rooted and grounded, what does take place in our lives, is that it creates within us a sound mind and a heart to receive the understanding, to build you up as a house for God to dwell in. And the opposite of being rooted and grounded in the understanding of what God has for us, and by the way, we'll get to it maybe tomorrow, I mean next Wednesday, is the love. To be understanding of the love of God. And Paul loses control. He's going, the height, and it is the height, and he's the width, and it's the depth. He can't even, he's freaking out while he's trying to describe this, and then there's a dash, and he goes, oh, that you might know. And he's going to, we'll get into it next week, you might know the unknowable. Paul, you've lost it. But that's his prayer, that you might know the unknowable. Paul, it can't be known. Yeah, I know, but I'm going to pray it anyway. And the word literally means that you, through your whole lifetime, might strive and scratch and crawl to eat up everything you can about God, to get closer to the incredible, unsearchable riches of Christ, because he's so awesome you can't know it all yet, and it will take all eternity to know him in all of his vastness. And Paul says, I'm praying that you'll comprehend what cannot be comprehended. That's an amazing thing. Listen, to not understand God, to not understand in the existence of God or what God has promised, is to be insane, truly insane. It means to absolutely to be detached. Well, what is the greatest thing to be detached from? God. You're insane. When God is no longer governing your thoughts, you're given over to yourself, you go insane. It's a fact. When a person loses hope, they've lost all consciousness, all hope in God. They'll lose it. Any chance of life, they lose it. They put a bullet to their head, they're gone. You can get cancer, die in 6 months or 6 years. You lose hope, you die in a millisecond.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 and verses 14 through 17, where Paul pens quite the Trinitarian passage, A Prayer for Power is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue with more through Ephesians on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Our goal here at Real Radio is to build you up in the faith and to present the truth of the Almighty to non-believers so that they might come to a saving knowledge of Messiah. But no matter how strong our faith, from time to time, doubt creeps in. Doubt can be discouraging, but none of us can escape it completely. Remember, even the disciple Peter had times of doubt. The word doubting has forever been attached to Thomas, another of Jesus' disciples. Even the great prophet John the Baptist knew the struggle of doubt personally. We all struggle with doubt. And this is why Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers, no matter what kinds of doubts you've had about the faith. Pastor Jack has likely dealt with the issue. So here's our offer for this month. For your gift of any amount in support of the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll be glad to send your way this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.